walking with it, pointing out, straight out, you know, with his hand, with his arm on it, with like,
oh, he's proper, muzzle sweeping?
Kind of, yeah. Well, maybe it's pointing down, I forget. But okay. I mean, I Googled the area and there's a gun store right around the corner, but that's the kind of place it is where you just, I mean, my first battle rifle I bought with no, you know, no waiting period. I walked into a store and set down $1,400 on my credit card, on my debit card, and bought a DSA FAL. And it was like, it was so freeing because in California, like we bought a 22 rifle. No, in California, it has to be a 21 rifle. No, a 22 rifle. And it was a 10-day waiting period to pick it up after we, you know, after we bought it. And, you know, to transport it from the gun store to your car and from your house to the shooting range, you know, it has to be locked in the trunk, and then the ammo has to be in the trunk locked in a separate container. And, you know, in places like Casper, Wyoming and Belle Fourche, South Dakota, you walk in a store, you buy a battle rifle, and you just walk out with it in your arms with no case, and it's fine. I love it.
That's the way to be.
Yeah.
That's freedom. Mm-hmm. That's understanding boundaries, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So people here could use that kind of thing, but they could also use a way to really connect with each other because it's frantic on the Facebooks and the other platforms. They could use Cell 411. They could have used to install this app like a couple months ago and connect with each other and be ready. And that would be wild to see what would happen, because then, you know, with a couple clicks, people would just be saying, any of you guys, can you put me up for the night or the next couple nights? And by the way, I have two dogs with me. That kind of thing. Because that's been going on all over the place. And that really beats staying in the shelter that they set up.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it beats staying in that shelter. Because that's open air, you know. And there are bugs here. I don't sleep in the open air like that. No, that's on the other side of the island. That's cool. Because there, it's so much drier that there's almost no bugs. You know, you can get away with that kind of thing, sleeping on the beach.
So you don't have bugs or do have bugs?
Over here, lots of bugs. Tons of bugs.
Ugh, the cat doesn't eat them all?
The roaches are humongous.
We're going to need a bigger cat.
Yeah. This is some large-sized insects. This is the tropics. Have you ever seen a real tropical centipede?
I don't even want to think about it. It sounds horrible.
Yeah. Usually not dangerous, except for children and old people, you know.
Like me. I'm both.
Extremely painful.
I'm both.
Yeah. Yeah. As you and children.
You know, children.
Obviously.
Yeah. Check your email.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go there.
I just sent you the picture of the guy in the Harley. It's not a cutoff t-shirt. I remembered it wrong. It's a pullover. It's a, what do you call it?
I was getting
a jumper. No. But yeah, he's just walking down the street with a giant rifle. And, you know, I mean, I'm not like how people who don't like guns are like, every gun, like, it was a huge gun. Like, I own rifles, and I'm like, this is a pretty big rifle. It's obviously, you know, not a 22. It's not Bobby's first 22, like the Cricket from, what is it? The Cricket from Marlin or one of those.
There's, it looks like he's got a bottle in hand, and he's
I never noticed that. He has a 40-ouncer and a rifle. He's going to have a good weekend.
He totally is holding a 40-ouncer.
He's holding a 40-ouncer and a rifle, kind of pointing down with it. And he looks muscular, and he's wearing a Harley-Davidson shirt. This is in Spearfish, South Dakota. There's a gun store in that building around the corner. Because this original posting, these have, like, the addresses, and I Googled it. So,
oh,
man,
cool.
Yeah.
So what state is that in?
South Dakota. Spearfish. South Dakota. There's a South Dakota now? Yeah. I remember when I played my band Bomb, we had a gig in, I don't know, what's in Canada above North Dakota? Saskatchewan, maybe? And we had a drive from Omaha, a gig in Omaha, Nebraska, at a place called the Ski Lift Lounge. And it was like, the joke was, it's in the middle of a cornfield and, you know, there's no hills there, but there it looked like a ski lodge. And not cross country, like downhill. There are pictures of downhill skiers everywhere. And then we had a gig in Saskatchewan where I remember we played. They paid us a couple $100 to play, which is probably just the gas money to get there from Omaha, through the Dakotas. And our drummer at the time was a Native American, Bruce Ducheneau, which is a French word, French-Canadian. I think his family is first, what's the Native American in Canada? First Nations?
First Nations.
But yeah, yeah, but he lived on a res. I spent the night on a res. And, you know, I mean, I'm saying this like it was a foreign country. It wasn't. It was, it is technically a sovereign nation, but, you know, we stayed in a, this is a guy who sold his horse to buy his first drum set. Okay. Put it that way. So yeah, we stayed on the way up to play in Saskatchewan in a gig where they told us to turn down while we were playing because there was a hockey game on TV, and I'm not kidding. Yeah. But they paid us.
Neighbors.
Yeah, we played like, you know, like chat, like lounge, like a blistering rock band, and we played it like lounge band volume. And because they were watching a hockey game, and it was still kind
of
too.
This is a lot of traffic. I'm like looking at a video right now, live at this four-way intersection.
You can't say that
on
radio.
I'm not there.
Go on.
I'm looking at this traffic intersection. There I can go. I can say those words. And then everyone being stopped, all this, you know, people, you know, I got some cops randomly putting a cone down. I don't even understand what he's doing. You know, so there's a lot of things going on here.
He's being in control. You know? That's what he's doing, putting a cone down. Like,
there's a lot of people just wearing vests.
Must justify my job.
So I see that the cop in the Forerunner, he gets to have his lights on and go through the traffic. He gets push on through. And now he can stop in the middle of it and talk to the other cop. Okay, so that's cool. And now the curvy newscaster, she's gone there and she's describing everything. Her voice is awesome. She pronounces the Hawaiian names perfectly every single time.
Nice.
And she exactly has the voice and presentation that you'd want for a local Hawaiian station. It's exactly it. It hits it really hard. I'm just saying, if you're going to get the right person to be your newscaster for Malika Lincoln.
Nice.
I just realized,
okay, so we're talking about bad audio. I just realized I've had my mic down going into the recording since we came back on. So none of that went out. I'll fix it in the mix for the podcast, and you'll be responding and saying, yep, and then it's me talking for 10 minutes, and then, yep, I need, yeah. So we're talking about Tom Woods' bad audio. So his audio is good now after, you know, everyone told him to talk to me, and then he tried to talk to me, and then I made too many demands of, well, if you want to do good audio, you need to go to my site, Creamy Radio Audio. And he's like, can't you just come over and I'll pay you? And I'm like, I don't live there. So he finally got some, because it's the internet, and that's how I hear you. But he is
can't
on
you come through the inner tubes and just fix all this for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, no, because the audio is too bad on the inner tubes. But so, you know, he posted and like said, who can help me with my audio? And everybody said that I could help them, or my site, creamyradioaudio.com, which pretty much, you know, if you want to pay me $75 an hour to read that one page site to you, I will. But really, everything you need to know about getting good audio cheap, even for, you know, over a distance like this, for under $100, is on that page. And it's what all the fiends use, is that equipment. Because I did all the research and found the right things, and perfect. Good stuff, man. But, man, did I really just record
this microphone?
Like 8 minutes of me without me going to tape, going printing to tape, as we used to say.
Hey, can I give you something important going on over here?
Yeah.
Because, this is Daryl over here on the Big Island of Hawaii, where there's still towards. One of these places is called the Puna Geothermal Ventures Power Plant. Uh-oh. That's where they like to tap into all that heat areas.
Nature's
down below
mad.
Us right here.
Nature doesn't want to be exploited like that.
Okay, so it's getting tapped like that. But you know what else they have stored on site of this whole plant is allegedly about 60,000 gallons of pentane and a variety of other interesting toxic substances. And so the lava is headed in this direction. The plant has been shut down for 3 days at least, and they allegedly moved that to the high ground. They moved the toxic stuff to high ground. Okay. You know, if you look at a photo, an aerial shot of Puna Geothermal Ventures, and you all have an internet, so I know you can look at a picture of this place from above. I don't know what you call high ground. It's not like they have little mountain turrets or something like that. There's no Devil's Tower.
I'm literally a mile above sea level here, and we can go a lot higher in Wyoming. So what's high ground
this
there?
Is low
400
lands.
Feet?
No, there's not really. It's all fairly flat in that area going down towards the ocean. That's why they built it there. It made sense. Yeah. You know?
So the lava could run into the ocean. Yeah.
The lava in this case could also run into 60,000 gallons of pentane, allegedly.
I'm Googling pentane. This will probably get me on a government. I'll probably get me on a government watch list Googling pentane. What's he planning?
Yeah, it's like magma, pentane. What is he doing?
I don't even know what it is. I know the boiling point is 36 degrees Celsius, but
I know that if it becomes a super fun. And if you don't know what a
super fun
is, it's not super fun, but it's super fun. You know, it's what's that place in Washington State? Hanford. That's it. The Hanford facility.
I don't know what that is.
You know, it's a huge toxic area of where they used to make power. nuke station, you know, and nuclear storage. It's the nuclear waste storage place in North America.
The?
I mean, the one
what
that's
do you mean, the?
There. It's
they're everywhere.
One of the big ones.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, you're right. There's New Jersey. There's Nevada.
Hey, did you know I was conceived in New Jersey?
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I found that out.
Ew.
I found that out. Okay, my dad came to San Francisco one time when I lived there with his wife, and, you know, she let him come see me for dinner. Oh, she came to dinner with us, actually. And I didn't have a girlfriend. I was dating seven women at the time, and I wanted to look solid in my life. So I had a friend of mine pretend to be my girlfriend, who is someone who can dress up really, who cleans up really nicely. She's actually a dominatrix for a living. I don't do that. I don't like being pushed around, but, you know, guys pay her for that. She actually ended up marrying one of the directors of The Matrix, that guy who's richer than God, the brothers, the one that became a woman first. I think that was her influence. But yeah, so she's a friend of mine, and she went out to dinner with me, and she's, you know, tall and striking and blonde and Aryan looking. And actually her dominatrix name was Mistress Ilsa Strix. And Ilsa Strix is a name from one of those old, like, Nazi sex movies, like, not really Nazi, but Nazploitation movies, like a sex movie that's like, you know, the get up is, oh, we're all prisoners in the concentration camp and it's great fun or something like that. Like, that was the woman in one of those. She's not a Nazi. It was just the name she used. And she went out to dinner with my dad and I and my evil stepmother, who's now dead, thank God, literally.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, first she took all his money and then divorced him. She took my inheritance and then divorced him. Divorced him when she was 94 and he was 89. After like 30 years of marriage. Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, so we're all at dinner at this kind of nice restaurant. Dad's paying. Go to a nice restaurant. You know, he said, well, take us to a nice, to go to a nice restaurant. My treat. So we went back before she took all his money. And she said something, you know, my dad said, oh, where are you from? And she said, New Jersey. And he said, oh, Michael was conceived in New Jersey. And she said, what exit? And I'm just still like staring at my dad going, wait, what is what? Huh? How do you know this? Oh, okay. Yeah. Because back then, people only did it for each child they had. So he has four kids. So my mother and him did it four times, right? That's how it works back then.
That's, yeah. I didn't know what the it was at first. Was the it take out a mortgage?
It is. Yeah. It's to, for radio purposes, it's take out a mortgage in Belfouche. Yeah. Belfouche. I am not making fun of Belfouche. I love the word. It's French.
The name is awesome.
It means beautiful fork. It's where the river forks, I think, and it's beautiful fork. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's, have you heard about the upcoming Belfouche with Bitcoin? There's going to be a beautiful fork, and there's going to be Bitcoin Cash. And, you know, Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin, and Bipcoin Cash is the real Bipcoin. I hope no one's writing this down. It's not only not investment advice, but Bitcoin doesn't exist, and Bipcoin, which I created and then abandoned, somehow still trades on the markets. It's on the list. It's on the big board, but yeah.
It makes a great show title. Bitcoin Cash is the real Bitcoin.
Okay, I'm doing that, man. I don't know. I was going to put something about the volcano, but the volcano is spewing Bitcoin. No, I think it's going to be link baity if I say it in false and like fraud almost if I say yes. A person 30 miles from the volcano tells us, man on the street, you know, on the ground, boots on the ground.
I'm 8 miles away.
Oh, really?
So, eight.
Oh, well, you're doxing yourself almost there. I was going by where your P.O. box is, which is 30 miles away from it.
Oh, you're right.
So do you ride,
but
your,
you know,
you ride your bicycle
findable.
22 miles to your P.O. box?
No, because
do you have
I
a car?
Keep my P.O. Yeah,
oh,
totally.
Oh, I thought you were a hippie. Yeah. I thought you guys lived in a tent on the beach. I'm kidding. I know you don't. You have a house.
It is a tiny house. You know what those people call tiny houses, you know?
Oh,
20 by 24.
Tiny houses are hip now. That's what the, you know,
yeah,
the kids that want to actually like be homeowners, you know, spend 10 grand on, I mean, literally, basically, you could go to Home Depot and buy one of those prefabbed garden sheds and just cut some windows in it. You'd get the same thing cheaper, but yeah.
Yeah. But This is the tropics, so that means you can live in a tiny place, but if you have enough canopies that you extend off of your place, it's the same thing. It just gives you this nice outdoor space, separate space to do some stuff, change it up, you know. Because I'm sure, like, for productivity, right, you have to change from desk to desk, right? You can't just do all your work at one
desk. Yeah, I have two computers running right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you change from one to one because that change, it helps change perspective. It helps to, because you have creative writing things to do, right?
Well, often what it is one computer is rendering while I'm working on the other computer. So I have two computers side by side, and I just scoot over on a chair with wheels to the other one while one's thinking.
Running like 200.
Yeah, I'm to mine Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the real Bitcoin cash. Yeah. Oh, man.
That makes sense.
I only have 32 gigs of RAM. I'm not a stud. And 16 gigs of RAM on the other one. The other one is my old one, you know.
Wow.
And then
I love a fast machine.
And then I have a dedicated Linux laptop that doesn't have nearly that much, that used to be a Windows laptop, and I wiped it and put on a fresh install of Linux and then made new wallets and sent all my Bitcoin to it. And then encrypted it with something that, you know, they'd have to beat out of me. I don't know. I don't remember it. Yeah. I don't know. But I don't keep my Bitcoin on the same computer I keep stuff on. That's ridiculous. Do you do that?
That would be silly.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar. And their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
First of all, I keep it on the cob where it belongs.
I don't have any Bitcoin, government. I lost it in a lava accident.
I said Bitcoin.
I lost my lava in a lava Bitcoin accident. Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. I did lose all my Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. No, I mean, here's redemption in this third act. I mean, it's this simple. You can choose the right location. You can live here. You can hold on to your Bitcoin. And your Bitcoin cash.
Your Bitcoin.
And if you can stay and just pay attention to which way the smoke is flowing, which way the lava is flowing, you don't have to live right where that is.
You don't need a weatherman to know which way the lava flows, as the yippies used to say.
It's reality. I mean, and if you have better redemption, I'm all ears.
Oh, we're wrapping it up? Wrap it up, B. Ow.
No, I mean we can go into the next.
We're really gonna do two.
That was a pre-redemption.
I can't do two. Can we do two? We can do one long one. Just keep the transmitters going. Did you know that the tallest structure in the Western Hemisphere is in North Dakota, and it's a TV tower? It was the tallest structure until they built the Burj Khalifa in, where's that? Saudi Arabia, Qatar, somewhere.
I think I've seen like videos of the guy climbing the
tower. Oh, that, you know, makes me kind of ill to my stomach. Yeah. That is an awesome video that's got millions of views. Yeah. The drone photos of the guy climbing that thing. They built a taller one in Poland and then it blew over from the wind. That's not a Polish joke. That's a fact.
No.
Yeah.
That's just reality.
Yeah. I mean,
engineering marvels, that's absurd. Remember,
what was the point of Polish jokes? I used to tell them as a kid. It was horrible. And like, what's the point? You know, is that like leftovers from World War II German propaganda or something? How'd those start?
It's true, because like, it wasn't like the Nazis were the butt of all the jokes or something.
I know.
You know?
I know. Why are you making fun of the victims?
That is an interesting point. not to mention the concentration camps over there.
Yeah.
But and here's the thing. From my research, I remember that the bubonic plague was mostly repelled from Poland because they killed anyone who tried to enter that whole kingdom at that point.
People are horrible.
That was...
So is the bubonic... Yeah. Well, you know why the Great Plague spread and wiped out a third of Europe was because of the Pope. Do you know about this?
What did the Pope do?
He, and, like, you know,
prevented people from being sanitary?
I'm not... Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not anti-church, but back then the church was the government, and I'm anti-state, and the church was the state. He said that cats were evil and of the devil and ordered them all killed, and then there was nothing to eat the rats, and the rats overran Europe and carried the plague. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So that's a danger out there. You got... little bubonic plague rats running around the deserts in the Southwest and all of that kind of country.
Yep.
We have different diseases over here.
What do you got?
Leptospirosis.
You've mentioned that twice streams. Now. I'm scared of it.
You know, it's really an interesting thing. Like,
are you going to segue into a water filter ad? And that's why I, you know, about segues.
That's why I use the Berkey.
Nima Vanadia used to make fun of those kind of segues, and a running joke was... This never actually happened, but Hannity's really ham-fisted with him. And Hannity would say, you know, we would joke that Hannity would say, and we need to bomb Middle East back to the Stone Age. And you know what else is Stone Age? Having hard water. And that's why my home and office use hard water filters from blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah.
And that is ham-fisted. It's got two meaty hams there.
Two meaty hams. So, yeah. You know,
some
probably it would,
for you folks.
It would probably be more accurate and less link baity and actually get more hits if I called the name of this episode, Are Your Headphones Making You Nauseous? Because I actually talked probably more hard to find info about that than we talked about what's happening near where you are.
It's going to be fun to go over this episode. And I was already promised to send out the links for it. You know, people want to know. They want to know, what am I going to talk about? And this is what I talked about.
Yeah.
And I said my piece. There's things going on over here. I'm keeping a nice safe distance from it. I'm paying digital attention from those who actually risk their lives, like my ex-landlord who's over there, I don't know, consistently risking his life and his drone's life. His
Why don't they make fireproof drones? I've seen so much close-up drone footage, and there's actually some of the most stunning volcanography on the internet is something like National Geographic, where they took drones down into a volcano, like, you know, 20 feet above the lava bed and of an active volcano. And the drone just melted and fell into the volcano. You know, it just stopped working.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
But I think
unless you have a trans-dimensional drone. That,
I think
know,
they could make
shifts.
A drone that wouldn't do that. I mean, they can make... You know, they can make they. I used to think they was the scientists when I was a kid. But now I think they is probably the government. When people say that's what they say, I think they mean
the
state.
They could make a lava-proof car like the Killdozer. I want to drive back into my Leilani Estates house, you know, in my Killdozer.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, so... Two Killdozers in every garage. You can look that up out there.
You know so much about the Fiends. You know it better than me. You know, the other day I was doing a show with Cal. I actually mentioned you on it. Did you hear it?
No,
because Cal was saying something about something and something, and I was like, oh, well, you know, we already did an episode on that topic on the Fiends 4 years ago, and it was called blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, man, I like doing shows with you, Cal, but I like doing them with Daryl Becker a tiny, tiny bit more because he knows the Fiend's canon, you know? Yeah.
You know, the Fiendly Departed and the Requiem for them and listing their names out and like a little moment of silence. I'm looking forward to that show because
wow,
it's a moment to create closure, right? Right? Like to have that perfect... Everyone kumbaya
together. 10th year show, anniversary show.
Yeah, yeah, because, like, I mean, that's like your reverse dream team. You have them all on the show at once, you know?
What, the ex-Fiends? The opposite. No, they won't talk to me. No, they're ex for a reason. Most of them, some of them just left, like Dan. Like, Dan, they're bigger buttons. Dan, Scottish Dan, and Mrs. Scottish Dan. Yeah, they just went on to... I mean, a lot of people use the Freedom Fiends and Michael W. Dean as stepping stones to bigger things. And, you know, when people finally block me and go on to start their own podcast and it actually has good audio because I taught them how to do stuff and probably bought them a mic, I call that graduating from the school of Michael W. Dean. Yeah, when you finally block me and take what you learned and use it against me elsewhere, you've graduated from the school of me.
What about Hugo? Is that a name still?
Hugo's around. I can Hugo's mention? Just busy. Hugo's in, yeah. You can mention any of them. Except, you know what's funny? So Cal hates
I can
all,
mention any
Cal
of them.
Cal doesn't like all the people I don't like, except the other day he said something like glowing about Mark Stevens. And I was like, ugh. And then like, we just kind of started, you know, he didn't know. Oh, that was it. He didn't know the Fiends. You know about me and Mark Stevens, right? About our pod beef.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I was talking
to a common litigant, you know, in common. Right?
Yeah. Well, not
dealing with stuff.
Oh, yeah. So Mark Stevens is a guy who gives crazy libertarian legal advice that, like, would work in a libertarian paradise with fair courts, but his advice will probably get you out of a parking ticket, but there's people in prison who probably wouldn't be in prison because they took his advice. I mean, his advice is universally, like, it all boils down to challenge the judge on their jurisdiction. And he contacted my friend who had two drug felonies in a rural Texas court and said, hey, I know a lot about the law. I can help you. Didn't say he's not a lawyer. She thought he was a lawyer. And he started giving her advice. And her, you know, his advice was challenged. Can you imagine? And this is like a hanging judge in Texas. Can you imagine being with a hanging judge in Texas, like one that it's on a road where everyone gets busted. Like, this is the court where Willie Nelson got busted. This is the court where Snoop Dogg got busted, you know? Can you imagine being in that court and telling the judge, you know, well, Your Honor, why do you think you have the jurisdiction to challenge me on my right to freely travel through your, you know, like, that's the kind of stuff he does. Can you imagine how that would end up working for you in Texas in a rural court with two drug felonies in a court for
court
that kind
rules
of stuff?
In favor of the prosecution.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Know, like that. Kind of like that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Where they just want to nail you to the wall, you know, for smoking a reefer stick. But, oh, and
that's
she
arbitrary.
Had, she had hash residue in a pipe. And they weighed the pipe, and it was like an ounce and a half with, you know, milligrams of hash residue in it. And they said that was an ounce and a half of hash. And that was one of the felonies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liars.
Yeah. So this is another good reason to bring lightweight glassware and not heavy brass. So, you know, keep in mind what you're doing out there with your devices.
So you really think the name of this episode should be 3D printed crack pipes in libertarian paradise?
I think that was the main subject. That's all we really talked about, you know, except for, you know, a small volcanic eruption that happens to decimate various houses.
Yeah, and it wasn't
Puna geothermal plant, you know.
Sorry. It wasn't crack. Yeah, the other drug felony was a tiny bit of fungi that actually grow in that area of Texas too. Well, they don't, but peyote does. So, yeah. Oh.
So I'm allowed to mention any ex-fiend, even MK. Any of them.
MK Lords. Oh, you know what? There's a show I like called Orphan Black. It's about clones. It's, you know, sci-fi, not too distant future. Great. One woman plays like 20 characters who are all clones. It sounds cheesy, but it's brilliant. It's great. There's a new clone in there, and it's a character named MK, and she lies all the time. I thought that was really funny. I liked it. Because MK, I don't want to talk about those people, because then...
That's okay.
Then they will, you know... They block me. I block them. What I'm saying is there's no moratorium on mentioning them. They are not he who cannot be named. But, you know, we're happier apart, all of us, I think. So let's leave it at that. Although James Weeks is doing I fired him and I still like him. And he's doing a really good show with good audio now. Jim Jesus is doing a really good show with good audio now.
With good audio.
Well, I haven't really listened to either of those shows, but I've done needle drops on them and they're good audio.
And so, Jeremy's doing a great show.
Yeah, and
he's still a fiend.
His audio's a lot better. He was doing a show before he was a fiend. Yeah. Him and Lou are the OGs now on the Fiends, even though I fired him and got him back.
They are my superiors.
They're your superiors. Yeah. Well, you know, stick around long enough.
You're our superior.
I'll will the show to you and those two at some point, probably. Maybe. Ooh.
I will stick around.
Yeah. You can inherit a radio show that doesn't make much money or any. It's actually, yeah. Yeah, it actually doesn't.
I know how to drill that well and make it produce. You know?
It'd be really easy. You would just turn it overnight into a health call-in show.
Yeah. Hi, this is Daryl, and this is your health call-in show. So hope everyone is feeling nice and healthy.
I'm in Hawaii. I'm in my Hawaii in sandals. And you wouldn't have me interrupting you. I can't not interrupt. People complain
you have to
about
interrupt
it.
Me.
I get excited.
Yes.
You excite me. Talking to you excites me. I get too excited.
Interrupt you.
And then I don't let you talk.
But I'm here for you to express yourself because I'm in the therapist role when I show up as a fiend.
You know, someone actually quit the fiends. Someone, old friend of mine, Mike DeLuna, who actually is the guy who created the libertarian statement of Rhodes. He made a meme a long time ago, like 7 or 8 years ago, that was a bunch of zombies. And he put on the top, Rhodes. And that was him. He made that up. He was on the fiends for a little while when Stephanie Murphy was on the fiends for a little while. Do you remember those three shows or whatever?
No, Stephanie as a fiend.
Yeah.
That's how did I miss that?
Because it was three shows, which is interesting because she and my wife sound so much alike and my wife does all the ads for us that it was confusing. And everyone at GCN thought Stephanie did the ads on The Fiends at first when we first got on before she was on for three shows because they have almost identical voices. It's really weird. Like without ever having heard each other, they have grown up having almost identical, really creamy, beautiful voices. I don't like a lot of talk radio. And I don't like a lot of the women, not that do talk radio, but that do ads on talk radio. For some reason, people hire women with strident, kind of shrill, like, I think it's because that cuts through when you're in the car and there's kids screaming or you go in the other room for a lava burger during the commercials.
Your family needs greens, but you don't have the time.
Yeah.
Use Miracle Greens.
Yeah. Yeah. Those ladies. Or even worse, the one you ever see the Simpsons where Homer's trying to hire an ad man and he goes and he's like, well, are you any good? Homer says that. And the guy's like, You know those commercials where you have a husband and wife yammering back and forth? And Homer's like, yeah. And he says, I invented those. And Homer punches him in the jaw and then hires him. That's how it works in radio. Yeah. That's how interviews go.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Violence on The Simpsons.
So Liberty, let's do 10 minutes of Liberty here. Tell me about the Liberty. I'm going to just mute my mic and have you talk about the Liberty. I'm going to try. Maybe
about
I can.
About the Liberty.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing about when you tackle some, I hear Michael coming closer to the microphone. Are you there? We have you, Michael. What's going on in Wyoming right now?
Well, I'm on the ground here. The groceries are in. The cats are being fed. And things are happening. And the National Guard is not involved.
And that's good radio. Thank you.
So what about the Liberty? We haven't really talked much. I mean, I guess this is Liberty that we're speaking freely on the radio. Can't do that in North Korea. But
so that's respect of choice, right? Freedom.
Yeah. You know,
we're unencumbered movement. So if it's within your power, within your boundaries and ownership, then you get to use it. And that's liberty to me. It owns what? Gist of it. But what about mental liberty, where, in other words, you understand that who owns your attention span? That's the intellectual version of liberty. See, I want to touch that one too, because if you don't know that, you know, you're reading something and you're insulted because someone used the word retard, and I'm pretty sure I can use that in Belfouche, you know?
I mean, saying they're retarded in Belfouche, saying they're not as squitney as, like, people in California about words.
I'm pretty sure that someone in any part of North or South Dakota understands that I can use a word, and you could define that word, in this case, as meaning slow. That's what retarded means.
Oh, well, there's liberals everywhere, but there's far fewer of them in the Mountain West and that particular part of the Midwest. It's weird to me that the Dakotas are the Midwest, technically, because they're, you know, they border Wyoming and Montana.
That's way more interesting, than Liberty. But,
but they're more in mood. They're more like Wyoming than they are like Wisconsin, which is, Wisconsin is so leftist that I remember who's the guy that had the anti-communist witch hunts in the 50s, the senator, congressman,
Senator McCarthy.
Yeah, Senator McCarthy, live here on the floor of Congress.
And Senator Al D'Amato with your daily D'Amato denial. I have no knowledge.
The Madison Union Ledger or whatever the paper is in Madison, Wisconsin. McCarthy called it the Prairie Pravda, which is hilarious. And it's what I call the Casper paper, the Casper Tribune, because it's a lefty paper. The main paper here is lefty in a town that's, you know, in a state that is so overwhelmingly red. It's the most red state in America. It votes consistently most Republican for the people
well,
that show up
and vote. When you have intellectual liberty, you are immune to that because it just doesn't affect you. You understand. You own your attention.
Are you being McCarthy or are you being you? I can't tell.
Yeah, it's hard to say what persona I was taking on, but it's dry and it's professorial and it doesn't really make good radio. I was told this, so I believe it.
Yeah.
So it's about understanding who's your audience. If you're really out there, you listen to Freedom Fiends, you want to mention of liberty and what is freedom, then it's good for you to have some intellectual liberty and be able to listen with your mind, like hear it. We've already mentioned things like the National Guard stopping people from going to their homes. What do you think I was mentioning? And also, you know, someone getting upset at the word retarded on my Facebook and unfriended me today. That was retarded. And also, it's an example of the lack of intellectual liberty. They could have just said, oh, you know, there's this unfollow button. You could have just not read the posts that I'm posting. If you're seeing too many of mine, you unfollow me on Facebook. There's so much technology.
Those leftists, social justice warriors, they don't have gray hairs. A lot of them are really young, but I got a couple gray hairs, and I'm not like that at all. So those people are why Trump is president. You know, my family is like this. My sisters, my dad's a conservative, old government, old. He's 97. It's hard to know what he wants, but you know, he believes in the Constitution. He wanted Sarah Palin to be president, but I think he just had a crush on her. Like, oh, that young lady is hot, you know, that kind of thing.
I can see Russia out the window.
Yeah, but he liked her a lot for some reason, and he always votes Republican, and he has his whole life. He voted for Nixon, although he does. Nima Vedati and I had him on the show one time. Famous Jack Dean interview. Have you heard that one?
No.
Really? Wow. He was here in Wyoming visiting DJ and I.
He's
for
90?
97 now. He was 91.
97?
When this happened. This is before radio.
Man.
Yeah, and he sat in this room with me on another microphone and talked with me and Nima. Nima was in Austin. And it is a great show. And it's the one where I said, what do you think of Barack Obama? Or Nima asked him. And he said, he paused for about a second and he said, Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. And Nima and I turned that into a rap song. If you Google Obama's feet stink, you'll get the rap song we made. And the chorus of it is my dad, who sounds like a 91-year-old man, saying who was alive in the Great Depression. That's how old. He was alive during, you know, Prohibition. That's how old he is. You know, hearing him saying, Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink over and over and over. It's pretty funny. It's good rap, but yeah. But he also in that said that he liked FDR because he helped the farmers, and my dad was a farmer, which is, you know, that's the problem with a lot of people's politics who, you know, first of all, they have politics. Second of all, I mean, I generally like the conservatives more than the liberals, but a common problem is like he is, you know, rants about government intervention and why we need to reduce taxes and why people should be able to make their own decisions and how much encroaching federal, you know, at all levels, state government, county, like, you know, as a business owner and a property owner, he's been in New York State. He's been saying this and speaking in those terms for years, which sound like conservative terms. And then he like wrote a letter to the newspaper saying that, you know, the Democrats in Albany were cutting funding to the local hospital and they should be charged with murder because people are going to die if the funding is cut to that hospital. And I was born in that hospital. My son was born. All my children are born in that, you know, like this totally, we need more government letter, you know, like not understanding that the free market could probably do that better, especially in a small town like that. Yeah, man, it's weird.
Not understanding who owns what. See, that's always going to be the conflict thing. If someone has a conflict, it's usually they don't understand. You know,
well,
like, I come on this show. Do I know who owns it? Yeah, I know who owns it.
The guy that interrupts you nonstop. Yeah.
Right. And so, therefore, no conflict because I know what I'm in for. You know, you come on to my show. Different story. Different story.
I can't wait. Start it now.
Yeah.
Today. Live.
I'm going to get I'm going to get my phone and start a simultaneous show.
Yeah. Well, actually, Lou did that last week. He was, you know, I mean, not Lou, Jeremy, because he's going through so much with the government touching him in bad places and trying to sell his house. Yeah. And the same thing happening there, that he didn't have time to do his show and The Fiends in 1 week. So he did The Fiends live and then put it out as his show for that week, too. That's cool. Cool, man. Yeah.
Double. You know, I'm just glad he survives. I ought to check in with him a bit more often.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is harsh.
Yeah, dealing with the government.
About it, you know.
What, about the government touching him in bad places?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, know? Yeah. For those who don't know, he said something negative about a fireman, not all firemen, and it went viral nationally, and every fireman and policeman in America hates him, and... reporters came to his house, tried to interview him. He told him three times to get off his property. And the fourth time he pulled a knife from his openly carried sleeve sheath on his waist and held it up in the air. And the lady was, you know, 20 feet away. Although, you know, technically you could have shot him and got away with it. I mean, he was defending his property. They edited out on the news the part where they said three times after he, you know, it doesn't show him saying, you know, get off my property three times. So it makes it look like they said, can you give us a comment? And he pulled a knife and said, this is my comment. Get off my property, which and looks like a crazy
hindsight.
Person. Yeah. So yeah. But he's had his like 11th court appearance for brandishing since then. So, yeah.
And they just, you know, it was the DA tacking on other charges that are like all irrelevant. Do. But basically the whole thing as a 2020 hindsight experiment would show me the weapon to pull out in this case was a cell
camera.
Phone
yeah.
video.
Yeah, cell 411. Showing cell 411 and filming
it. Surprise, you're live, you're going upstream, and you know what? Even if this camera was destroyed, it's still going out there. That's how cell 411
works. Because cell 411 does that. You know? Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that would be an easy way, first, to honestly convince anyone with some functioning brain cells to go to put this app, cell 411, on your phone.
Yeah.
I have to pronounce this
better. Well, he did that. He did that the next day. He got, well, he had cell 411, but he, first of all, you need to practice using any weapon you're going to use in an emergency, including cell 411, you know, on your phone. So you don't want to learn to use it while you're trying to film something happening in real time. So you need to learn to use it, get your cells set up with your friends, practice using it with your friends. Yeah.
And so something that happens on mine, by the way, is, and I have to fix this glitch because it's an old iPhone. I keep opening it up and it requires me to sign in. Now that would really slow me down if I was really needing some emergency, right?
Well, Android phones are like that too, but you can sign in with a swipe. But he bought a chest mount, so his cell phone is, when he's out of the house, his cell phone is on his body like a police body cam. Like, it's on his chest pointing up at whoever he's talking to. Yeah. Yeah. Marijuana's becoming legal. That's, I haven't smoked marijuana since, I haven't done drugs since 94, and I haven't smoked marijuana since about 80s. I think the last time I smoked marijuana actually was in 93, one time when I was kicking heroin. Or 94, the last time I kicked heroin, like someone gave me some pot, and I'm like, yes, please, anything, you know, because it took off the edge. But when I was a kid, this is like the first liberty things I did. One was being anti-war during the Vietnam War when I was 5. And, you know, there might be people saying, yeah, commie. No, conservative people should be anti-war except when you are attacked on your own property, because those people didn't do anything. It was the idea that communism was going to spread like dominoes. No, communism goes away when there's, I wouldn't say open borders, because I have different opinions on that. I don't think there should be entirely open borders when, as long as there's a government, because there is public property. If there is entirely private property and you lived next to Texas, you'd be fine letting people, you know, standard libertarian stuff, you know, real libertarian, hardcore libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist stuff. Of you know, your property is your own and you defend it. The North Vietnamese were not a threat to America, you know, and it was ridiculous to be over there, and it was done under a false, you know, America. How did America get into that? It was a lie, anyway. What was it?
Which
conflict?
The Gulf of Tonkin. So that would be Jim Morrison's dad, who was one of the guys who helped to create that whole event.
Was he really?
The Gulf of Tonkin. Yeah.
Really?
That was Jim Morrison, Admiral Morrison.
I didn't know that.
You know,
I knew he was an admiral.
Not admiral at the time.
I knew that Time magazine asked him, you know, what do your parents think of your music? And he said, my dad's dead. And his dad was alive and well and an admiral in the U.S. Army. And Jim Morrison just wanted to create his own myth and not be connected with a square. But although, you know, they did spend some time in Laurel Canyon. So according to that book, what's the book that says every musician from Laurel Canyon neighborhood of L.A. is like a CIA operative? You read that, didn't
you? Weird Scenes from the Canyon by Dave McGowan.
Yeah.
So if you're going to become a Freedom Fiends co-host, you need to be able to memorize various types of minutia from every field of study and then be able to spit it back perfectly.
Or as my dad would say, you need to be a jack of all trades and master of none. And as he always used to say, I don't think he made up any of the stuff he said, but he used to say funny stuff that's old-timey stuff, and he still would say it when I was a kid. It was like stuff from the Great Depression. He'd say, too bad everyone that really knows how to run the country is driving taxis and cutting hair. Yeah. What's a moon rock? Yeah. Someone just added me on Twitter, and because I play music that stoners like, so this guy, I guess, runs a marijuana dispensary and added me on Twitter, and I'm looking at his page, and it's all different kinds of pot. And he has something called moon rocks. I think they're like, they're $900 each. And they look like big chunks of, I don't know if this is hash or what. Do you know what this is?
Can you show me the link?
You're from Hawaii. I'll send it to you.
This is not something I've heard of.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm out in the country.
In Hawaii, you just pick it. It just, you know, it's like the streets are paved with weed, right? Does it grow wild there? I've heard it does.
It does not grow wild anywhere that I know here. I think it grows wild way more on the mainland than it does here.
Yeah.
Huh. Also, there was some serious eradication going on. Oh, I got to go to...
Oh, so here's a government thing talking about prohibition and marijuana. So a lot of people, what they're taught in government kiddie school is that during prohibition, that bootleggers are bad because they poison people. Like, you know, people would have poison moonshine and die. That's not true. Do you know why that's not true? Do you know what's not true about that?
I really don't.
Yeah.
Just tell me.
What happened was one of the things the government did, one of the services they provided to people during that time, was they would confiscate warehouses full of illegal liquor, open it up, poison it, and seal it up, like put strychnine in it and seal it back up and let it go out to the market. You know, have one of the bust those people, or just say, yeah, we inventoried it, we're going to let you sell this batch, let it out. And they'd let it out and people would die. So the government could say, see, those people are bad. They did the same thing with marijuana at some point. They still do this with coca leaves.
Paraquat.
Yeah, the paraquat. So here, I remember when that happened. When I was a kid, when I was smoking pot at 11, and I actually, the second Liberty thing I did was when I was 12, I wrote a letter to President Gerald Ford and told him to legalize marijuana and got a reply. Didn't say he was going to do it, but yeah. So
Gerald Ford,
he's just remembered for falling a lot, as I recall. Yeah.
The Coolidge of the 1900s.
But he wrote back, but it was a form letter and just put me on a list. I probably got on my first list at 12, so... I don't know what he thought of me. What did he think of me? I have no idea.
Gerald Ford, I think he was very impressed with this young man who's, you know what, I can't do that because you have no idea the arm twisting that goes on in this job. But I like that young man. That's what he thought. You have no idea. I am completely a puppet. They say dance, I dance. That's the way it goes here.
Yeah, so. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's bleak.
But I'm telling you, my tinfoil hat is really tingling right now.
I like that saying. My antennae are twitching. I like that saying, too, because that's what bugs do when they're interested. Their antennae twitch.
My little floppy duels.
Yeah. All right, so
Rick and Morty, too.
I'm sending you some moon rocks. Yeah, Rick and Morty rock. Oh, so the other thing, so paraquat is a weed poison. Like Agent Orange, which was a defoliant... Ooh. That was sprayed in the Vietnam War to take the leaves off the trees that, you know, what Americans called those dirty SOBs, which, you know, people in their country called freedom fighters, because they were being attacked. You know, here's the thing. Like, I'm not saying people who, you know, put it this way. If everyone listening to this show, if another country came into your town and started killing women and children, you would take your battle rifle that you bought at that Spearfish gun store and you'd go fight them. Or at least that's what everyone says who listens to conservative talk radio. You know, that's what the Vietnamese were doing. They were being attacked on their property, on their land. You know, long, long drawn out, ongoing. War is evil. And if you're a conservative and you back war, you're a bad conservative for a number of reasons. The moral, the ethical reasons, the life, the loss of life of your countrymen, and the cost. Because Daryl's great grandchildren are going to still be paying for the Vietnam War. That's how it works, from inflation of the dollar. But yeah.
And knowing about this means, okay, so do you want to take on the debts of other people's actions?
No. Because
I kind of prefer, you know.
No.
Well, I prefer to pay off people to not hurt me. That's what I'm going to keep doing. Because I live in a military world, so I pay people off to not hurt me, you know, or not try to make, you know, what is it? The Department of Making You Sad is here.
What is that? That's funny. What's the Department of Making You Sad? Is that from Rick and Morty? It should be, if it's not.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike Papa Lima Fest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
You know, I wish it was, but it's from another podcaster.
What did I just send you? I just sent you the moon rocks.
You sent me where to moon rocks, and then I just made sure to kind of like say, hey, I looked it up on Leafly. Leafly is an app where you can look up all types of varieties.
No.
And... you know, and then I'm sending that back to you.
You're making that up. Leafly. Are you making
Leafly
that up?
Leafly is. No, because I know a woman sitting nearby to me who has that on.
Huh. You
know.
It's a cannabis website. Yeah. They have an app where what? You can point your... So what's it say it is? Blue moon? Really? Like you pointed your phone at this picture and it told you what they are. What a time to be alive. When I was a kid, pot was illegal. Now it's legal in most states in one way or another. And there's an app.
It shows
for
me
that.
Where it's up for sale.
Yeah. And there's a supercomputer in your pocket. Oh, sorry. Blue Moon Rocks is not available in Casper, Wyoming. That's what it says.
Yes.
I believe, here's the problem with conservatives. I believe that Wyoming is going to be the last state to have any kind of legal marijuana. And I am predicting, and getting this on record, that they're the insanity of the politicians here, they're going to try to use state rights to keep it illegal. Like, what a misunderstanding of the Constitution that is. But they will. They'll try. But then they'll finally just legalize it when they realize every state around them is making millions of dollars in taxes. And, you know, Wyoming is not doing well. Actually, when we moved here 10 years ago, this was one of two states that was in the black, you know, not in the red. There was no state deficit, at least on paper. You know, I mean, there's always hidden deficits everywhere of the fact that they own everything and waste it. But there was no state deficit. It was us and North Dakota. And it was North Dakota because that's where the Bakken oil field is. And they're, you know, they're taxing that. But now Wyoming is not in the black. It's in the red. They're actually thinking of adding a state income tax because it was doing really well when the oil was worth a lot of money. And then Saudi Arabia said, ha ha, and released all their reserves and it crashed the world price of oil. And the population's actually gone down by like 10% since we moved here because people just left. And when I went to get my cats, this is really sad. When we went to get these new cats we have a couple years ago, they had such a choice. I mean, they had like 60 or 70 cats, which is a lot for the shelter here. They usually have 10 or 20. Yeah. And it's because people leaving town either brought their cats in and said, you know, we're going to live in our car. We can't afford to keep our cats. Or they just abandoned them. And they got like our black cat was found wandering the street. And our cat Bob was found
Beast?
Wandering the street. Yes.
Whoa.
And Bippy, all wow. three of them. And Bippy, the Biptunia motto cat, logo cat, was given to the shelter by people who were leaving town. You know, going to Texas or somewhere, Oklahoma, somewhere that you can still make money working the oils or North Dakota.
Well, I don't want to talk about North Dakota. I will talk about the street.
Peanut?
Because Tina. Tina. Tina, yeah, like, yeah, like the llama on Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she's named after. So, you know, it's she came from across the street, and she was one of the several cats that were swirling around my place in October 2016. Because those neighbors, they just kept getting one cat after another from the shelter. I think they've got eight over there.
They have a cat problem. They're cataholics.
Yeah, I mean they all are outdoor, and
that's what Catholic cat like.
Fixed,
when you but. When you see, I saw. I remember my friend got some. I used to have a friend that was a tweaker, and tweakers, you know, when I was in San Francisco, tweakers, speed freaks, collect things, every shiny things. They're like crows, you know. I mean, they'll steal valuable things, but they'll also steal like stuff of, you know, like a heroin addict steals things he can sell. A speed freak takes things he can sell, and then like. You know, shiny baubles and then your girlfriend's underwear when you're not looking. Seriously, it's weird. So, and he got sober.
I'm going to keep this in mind.
He got sober and he was still like a hoarder, you know, but like an organized hoarder. Like his house, it didn't have like rotten food or like old newspapers, but it had everything. Like he was Amazon for me before Amazon. Like I'd be like, hey, I need a 12XA3 tube for my guitar amp and I need... a gas cap for my 67 Plymouth Barracuda, and he'd have both and he'd be able to find them. And his grandmother died and he inherited her house and she was a hoarder, and he actually rented a huge dumpster to clean out some of her stuff. And he said, like, you know, that's the gifts of recovery. I used to go dumpster dive and now I'm renting my own dumpsters to fill up. I like that. But yeah, he was wearing some dog tags one day, and I'm like, where'd you get those? And he's like, found them, you know. And I looked at him, and I'm like, what is this? He said, you're a cataholic? And it was Catholic, you know. It's like it has the religion for burial rites on dog tags. And I misread. I was recently sober, too, and I was kind of like my head was still spinning. I was like, I'm a cataholic? So, yeah, your neighbors are cataholics.
They are, but they're good.
So, but they give you, and they give you cats. That's great, neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, that was nice because, I mean, that cat was living with us for more than a year before we found out.
Oh, wow. You
know, like, oh, that's yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know?
So,
that guy was like.
So the fact that marijuana is becoming legal in the United States of all places, I mean, it's, you know, it's still illegal in much of the world. It's actually, drugs are legal in Mexico in small quantities, which is
Portugal,
yeah. But America, think about that. Like, you know, the land of the fee, the home of the slave, is advancing liberty faster than a lot of other places, but not everywhere, because states, you know. So it's weird. It's just, I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. It's kind of a liberty thing of like, you know, and I don't smoke it. I don't like it. Even when I did drugs, I never liked pot. I mean, I smoked at 11 because I couldn't get anything good. And they say that pot's a gateway drug, but it's really not. It's just what you smoke until you find the drugs you like, really. That's, you know.
I like real ownership property and boundaries that really define who gets to say what. You know, I want those, what is it, like, I don't know, mixed First Nation, gay married opium farmers, you know, defending their
crops
fields
with battle rifles.
With, you know, flamethrowers.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. So, or killing
like
weeds
that.
With flamethrowers. Yeah.
And occasionally doing a little eating.
I really, it's the one problem I have with conservatives is the biggest, well, they're often really pro-war, which is really disgusting, and not conservative at all, you know, because you're robbing for your grandkids. It's weird, too. And they're also, like, often really pro-war on drugs, or at least kind of like, well, that's what you get for doing those things. But you have to understand, and here's the liberty, is like, what you own is if you're a conservative, you're into ownership. Like, you don't think the government should tell you to bake the cake. You don't think that the government should tax the heck out of you. You don't think they should regulate, you know, an A to B conversation between you and a friend, an A to B transaction. They should see their way out of it, that kind of thing. And those are all good things to believe. But if you believe those things, you have to be consistent, and that's true liberty, is being consistent, is believing in those rights for people that do things you don't like. You know, if you think that pot is for dirty, scummy hippies, fine, but you should still think that they should be able to do it. And you should fight for their right to do it. So you should see my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. You can get it at gunsandweed.com. or you can get it on Amazon. And, you know, like we say in the ad, Amazon does not sell everything under the sun except guns and weed, but they do sell the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So check it out. The point of it, no, really, though, the point, that, I mean, really, you should check it out. But you have to, if you want to be a true, if you really want to be into liberty and say you're into freedom and be able to say that with a straight face without being a hypocrite, you have to be consistent. An example of being consistent would be not only being in favor of completely decriminalizing all guns and all weed, but all drugs. I mean, this is the thing about liberals too. Like, liberals are hypocrites. I remember many, when we were filming that, the weed part of that interview at a dispensary in Colorado years ago, when only medical was legal. There were people, like, we filmed people who were sitting there with like 4 pounds of marijuana in front of them, like, you know, tweening the buds or whatever they do to prepare it, you know, that has to be done by hands, manual labor. And they pay people in pot to do that, sitting there pulling the buds off or whatever they do to get it ready. you know, a guy with a giant, huge pile, like maybe 6 or 8 pounds of marijuana in front of him. Like, you know, you can't see, it's like up to his chest on this table. And we're interviewing him and he's like, you know, he says, well, yeah, I think marijuana should be legal everywhere so they can tax it and use the tax money to hire more cops to get rid of the speed users and dealers. That's insane. That's not liberty. You know,
that's sour grapes, because, you know, you experienced some negative police attention in the past and court attention in the past.
Yeah. Well,
wishing that upon other people because they're really messed up, you know, and that's going to help them. That's just wanting to perpetuate the situation, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, no, you know, speed is bad for you, but you know what's worse for you is the police kicking in a door and throwing a grenade into a baby's crib. And that kind of stuff happens all the time. Or kicking down the wrong door and shooting someone when they pick up their gun because that's their instinct. Here's why you should be against the war on drugs if you're a conservative, because it can get you killed. Because cops all the time kick in the wrong door. If someone kicks in your door in the middle of the night, you're going to grab your gun. And home invaders often yell, "This is the police," so people won't grab their gun. You know, it's crazy. If you own guns, you should be against war on drugs. And those people kicking in the doors for drugs are really just practicing kicking in the doors for guns after drugs are legal, which those people aren't going to just say, okay. You know, when drugs are legal, those people aren't just going to say, okay, we won the war on drugs, we're going to go retire now and, you know, be with our grandbabies. No, they're going to keep kicking in doors because they like it, because they're immoral human beings.
So for further redemption, I got like a sign up here of like another 384 days since flashbang grenade went off to wake me up, you know? So,
wow.
You
know, not
made
you.
It that long.
You've never had that happen, have you?
No, I've never had.
I've woken up to somebody in my house trying to rob it, chased him out, helped my roommate chase him out in Charlottesville in the 80s. Yeah.
There's so much thievery here that there's actually Big Island Thieves Facebook group where people just post like photo, video, and pictures and descriptions of what's going on that potentially could be thievery.
Oh,
so
oh.
Some of it's very inaccurate.
It's like a neighborhood watch thing.
Yeah, but it's island-wide.
I really thought you meant this was where the thieves on the Big Island, like, here's video of me breaking
into
a house.
Oh, they read it, too.
But I thought it was, like, a place where they post what they stole and, you know, like, videos that they film in people's houses while they're sleeping. That'd be so creepy.
Brazen. Yeah. That would be really... You got some big ones for that.
Yeah, so, big kahunas or cojones? Yeah, kahunas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the people here, you know... They're very gentle, aloha spirit people, but when it comes to thievery, you know, there's some desire for vengeance.
That's universally, the wrong way to go. Except with liberals who think, you know, that it's okay because it's redistributing the wealth.
It's all of our stuff, man. Because there's like no boundaries.
Because I have no stuff,
like,
man.
I can say whatever I want. Like, I can talk over you because it's my show too.
People who think that everything is everybody's usually don't have anything.
That's usually it.
In my experience.
And it's much easier if someone else takes care of everything. And, you know, if you could maybe offset all those externalities of, you know, maintenance. And,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, so I didn't finish a couple things I said. And I like to finish things that I start because I find it's disconcerting to listen to a show where someone starts a story and doesn't finish it. Even if I don't notice that that's what's wrong. Just something feels wrong. So one thing is I was talking about Tom Woods. Maybe this is a different show. I don't know how this is going to get edited. This live show that we're pre-recording. I said Tom Woods used to have bad audio, and then he got good audio, but his guests always often have bad audio. Usually have good audio, but sometimes he'll do a show with somebody who's like using speakerphone, and it sounds like they're down a well, and he won't even say, hey, can you pick up the phone and talk into it? Is that too much trouble? Which I would definitely say if I interviewed people, which I don't. But if I was interviewing somebody, you know, I wouldn't let that stand. And even more so, I mean, I have recommendations linked on our site of like, hey, if you're going to do talk radio, you should have this stuff. And Free Talk Live, who take calls, unlike us, we did for a while. It was horrible. People are horrible and their audio is horrible. The people that call talk radio are often like, boy, I don't want to hear that. And then sometimes they get on and try to cuss. But yeah, Free Talk Live has a link to our My Creamy Radio audio site and recommends, you know, if you're going to call our show, call on Skype and get a good mic. Here's a good cheap mic rather than calling on a phone. You know, like if I were Tom Woods interviewing people every day and a lot of the same people over and over and over, like, you know, he has go-to guests like the other guy. Who's the other guy? Antiwar.com guy? That guy.
Oh, Paul Krugman.
No, the other guy.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's not. No. No. Scott.
Scott. Oh, Scott Horton.
Yeah, Scott Horton. Yeah. Those guys have a lot of go-to interviewees that they've interviewed 20 times or something. They should get those guys, like, say, hey, why don't you get this mic, and why don't you take it off your table and put it on a stand and put it in front of your mouth, and why don't you turn off, you know, the air conditioner? Actually, mine's on, but I want to remove it with, I could do that in post, but it's hot here. So yeah, like see, his hosts still sound bad now, even now, like once or twice a month, and maybe once or twice a year, he'll have ones that are just, I can't even understand what they're saying. It's so bad, the audio. And I made a meme about this, making fun of him and called him an audio cuck and put a picture of his picture on a guy in a slip trying to look sexy and tagged him in it. Yeah. And he complained about it on the air. And then later on another show, he said, you know, he talks about haters all the time. I think they really bug him. But he says, like, you know, yeah. I mean, if it's someone I've heard of, if it's someone who's somebody, I have to answer them and respond to it. But if it's a nobody, I don't even respond. So I guess I'm a somebody. And
somebody.
I'm joking because I certainly didn't do that to get him to acknowledge me as somebody by answering me. Which is what people always think all critics are doing, like that it's all self-serving. But this was actually because I listened to and syndicate his show without his permission. And I really thought that he could have better audio really easily. He could care. He could give a poop.
If you know? I was Tom Woods, I would send my guests a laptop and the microphone and the simple instructions and have them set up.
I've done that.
That easy.
Oh, like FedEx it around, like Sisterhood of the Traveling Microphone? Yeah.
You like that? Yeah. I mean, I know he can afford to do that.
You know how I have a tertiary or secondary connection to everyone in the world? Like, you've realized that listening to The Fiends, right? You probably even know this, but a lot of our new listeners probably don't know this. In Belle Fouche and Sundance and Spearfish, not new listeners. They've been on, that was one of our first stations. We've been on there since 2012, I think. We were a podcast from 2011 to 2013. We got on the radio in 2013, and they were one of our first stations. Thank you for your service, Belle Fouche. And
6 years.
The stations. Yep. Yep. And the stations are KBFS and KYDT. And I'd like to welcome them again because this is the second show we're doing. So, yeah, man. What do you think? What did I say about Tom Woods? Okay, Tom Woods. So Tom Woods is a good guy, but sometimes lets his guests have bad audio. The other thing I was going to finish was saying, you know, going back to the governments. We actually did a radio show called Governments Denature Everything, which is true. Like, you know, the denatured alcohol is alcohol that they've poisoned so you can use it as a, you know, industrial cleaning agent, but not drink it. They put methanol in ethanol, things like that. So the thing with spraying the paraquat, which is like Agent Orange, but not quite as toxic, but still pretty darn toxic, on the pot in Mexico was the idea was, well, we'll wipe out the pot and there won't be any pot in America. But nature and the free market work such that when you poison the only crop of dirt farmers who are starving, the people that grow marijuana in Mexico are not rich. The people they sell it to become rich. But, you know, they buy it for, a duffel bag for $20 or something like that. So the dirt farmers that their family will starve if they don't sell their pot this year would just, you know, they went out and harvested it as it was dying and hung it up and dried it and sold it. And a lot of people in America got sick. Here's how the market reacted to that. When that happened in the, what was that, 76, something, 75, something like that, all pot was $20 an ounce. You know, most pot was Mexican, and it was $20 an ounce, and it was dirt weed compared to the pot now, from what I've heard. It's like, it was like 1% THC. Pot now is like, you know, 15 to 40% THC, something like that. I mean, it's oozing crystals of THC. But so when that happened, like all, like at that time, Mexican pot was 20 an ounce. Colombian pot, or what they called Colombian pot, which was a little better, was $40 an ounce. All of a sudden, all Mexican pot was sold for $40 an ounce as Colombian. That's what happened. And people aren't going to not smoke it. And something I hear a lot from conservatives that's really disgusting is when they say things like, well, then that's what they get for doing what they shouldn't do. Have you heard that kind of talk?
Yeah, that's more sour grapes, just I'm saying.
I think you're using that word wrong. Sour grapes is when something gets taken away from you and you're like, oh, it was probably wasn't any good anyway. Yeah, what you're talking about is Schadenfreude. No, it's more like Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, because I wanted to stop using that.
It's like that meme that says, I don't think, you know, liberty. I don't think you know what that word is. I think, you know, you're using, like when people use the word wrong, but it's because they think they know it right. Like, you know, people saying, yes, we're conquering Syria for our freedoms. And it's like, freedom? I don't think you know what that means. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the other thing I was going to say before we get back to liberty is, you know, the movie, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, that famous thing. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. I read those books.
Yeah. Okay. Who wrote those books?
Anne
Brashears wrote those books. I used to give her bass guitar lessons when she was 15 or 14 and I was 19 or 20. Yeah. Her brother, Beau Brashears, is a really good friend of mine. And she's cool. I like her.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Microphone for Podcasters. That's a thing that can be done.
I bought the laptop, the main laptop that John Vibes is using, I gave to him after it traveled to another fiend who I fired because she took too long to give it back to him. No, I fired her and then she took too long to get back to him. And I was just like, that's insane. Like if I own people's property, here's another thing about libertarians I'll complain about. I'm looking at something funny. It's a meme that says how to tell the difference. And it says organic and GMO. And the GMO, it's got a pot leaf. And the organic, it's got a maple leaf. That's a really funny, meme. Yeah. Here's a headline. This is how the government works. After police ignored her, mom catches child's attempted rapist herself, then cops arrest her for kidnapping. Yeah, that's how the government works. All right. Oh, and also the government trying to stop sex workers from advertising, that is endangering women. And you know, the idea is that like Republicans and Democrats, a lot of people from all stripes think, well, they shouldn't be doing that. And if we make it illegal, here's life lessons most people don't get. If you make something illegal, it doesn't make it go away. Talk about that a little bit.
If you make something illegal, you take a service or good that was normal and you turn it into a super commodity, something that is suddenly higher priced and only certain people can trade in that good or service.
You don't have property plants. That's just a hypothetical. We don't want to get your door kicked in. You said you're hot. I just want to say you don't own poppy fields. And you need U.S. troops to guard it. You've seen those pictures, right? Talk about that for a sec.
Yeah. And all of that would not be trillions of dollars if anyone could grow it. It would instant commodity is prohibition.
Prohibition makes things. Prohibition doesn't make things go away. They make there be more of those things and make them more powerful and get them into every high school.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the Obi-Wan, you know, strike me down and I will become far more powerful than you could imagine.
Yeah, because, you know, when you outlaw beer, like prohibition, everyone just makes liquor because it's easier to transport. When you outlaw pot, you know, if pot and speed are illegal and heroin and coke, they're going to, everybody that was growing the pot and selling the pot especially is going to start, or smuggling especially, is going to start smuggling, you know, the white powders instead, because a kilo of pot Well, first of all, it's grown in America now, so you don't have to smuggle it, and sold openly in stores that pay taxes. But, you know, a kilo, a suitcase full of pot is worth, I don't know, $10,000 or $5,000. A suitcase full of heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine is worth $1 million on the free market.
And that's like 30 Bitcoin.
30 Bitcoin. Bitcoin. That's got to be in the title, man. See, if Davy Barker wasn't one of these people that had quit and won't speak to me, he's really good with Photoshop. If he were on this show and we were talking about Bitcoin, I would get an email right now without mentioning it, and he would send me a beautifully done graphic of Bitcoin. You know, he
used it would to, be like exhibit with the corn rolls just like, you know, like Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, he made that one thing during the during a show. He made that picture that's still a meme going around. That's the one that says, "The post office is socialism for packages," and it's a color photo of people in a bread line in the Soviet Union, and he photoshopped the store from being the Soviet Union to being a U.S. post office, and it's really well done. It just looks like people dressed in, you know, cold weather wear with no snow on the ground, just looking wretched and beaten down, in a line going a block down the street waiting to get into a post office. And then in the front of the picture, there was like a little girl staring at something, like off into the distance, imagining food in her belly probably. And he made it that she's staring blankly at a mailbox on the street in front, you know, in front
please,
of the
sir, can I send a letter?
Yes, yes, like that. So, yeah, man. So if you want, you know, cocaine, heroin, and speed sold in your grade school at reasonably low prices that children can afford, keep it illegal. And, you know, people say, like, well, if it were legal, how would you keep kids from doing it? I don't know. Are you a bad parent? How do you keep your kids from doing anything? If you're a good parent, you should be able to keep your kids from harm. That's what I think.
That's the opportunity. The job of being a parent is not an obligation. But if you want to pretend it is, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
so
yeah.
In conclusion,
so it's been a cool show.
Liberty good, tyranny bad. And try to be consistent. If you are somebody who believes in principles, here's your homework, should you choose to accept it. The opportunity, not the commitment. Try to look at things in your life when you say, when you have strong, loud opinions about things, see if you're consistent in every one of them. And if you would allow those same freedoms for things you don't like that other people have. Because the idea of the movie Guns and Weed came from a Robert Anton Wilson idea. He, do you know about the Guns and Weed Party? The thing he made up, that sci-fi writer?
No.
He made up something. He you know, had bumper, like, there wasn't an internet in the 60s or 70s. So he made, I think it was bumper stickers. But his idea was that, and stuff, he did a lot of speaking engagements. And he said his speaking engagements, and that he said that if everybody in California who liked guns and everybody in California who liked weed formed a political party and voted together, they could take over the state because they would be about 90% of the state back then. Now it would be about 100% of the state and everybody does guns and weed in California. It's just all, you know, the guns are still illegal. But it's a thought, too. Like if you all quit your fussing and fighting, you gun owners and weed owners, you cannot be bossed around. But it's the new racism, like where racism was created basically to keep the people down. It's guns and weed now. It's one of the things that's used. Like, they don't want the guns and weed owners agreeing on anything, so they create these constructs. Yeah, man. Be consistent.
And so if they create these constructs, it's you, the listener. It's up to you to perpetuate those constructs.
Oh.
Or
yeah.
Also, you can choose otherwise. You know?
Nima Vedati had a name for that. I think he got it from... I don't remember the libertarian. Gordon Gano. No, Gordon somebody. G. Gordon Gordon. Gekko. I don't remember. Somebody. Gordon Gekko.
G. Gordon Liddy.
No way. No, not him. He's not a liberty guy. Although he was on conservative talk radio, even in Belfouche on the same station we were on until he retired. But he actually, interestingly, after sending Timothy Leary to a federal prison for a bunch of years, did a speaking tour with Timothy Leary. That's a weird one, man. Yeah.
Oh. That is Stockholm stuff. Going
yeah,
there.
It is. And he was like, you know, Timothy Leary is like, I'm full of love. And he would like say, I love you, G-G-L. Yeah. Although G. Gordon Liddy said that on his radio show, he got a lot of trouble with a lot of people because he said that gun owners, when the ATF comes to your house to take your guns, should shoot them. And then he later backed it back at some point. You know, basically he was saying you should, You should use the Second Amendment, I guess is what he was saying. But we're not into violence here, man. We're peace-loving gun owners. Although we lost our guns.
My mission statement.
We lost our guns in a lava flow, government. We don't have any guns. But it's funny that he said that because he's a total statist. He's not a private gun owner. And the only thing I could figure out was he was part of the, was it CIA or DEA? What was he? But everybody, all the government agencies, the big ones, hate the ATF. They look at the ATF as the people that couldn't make it, you know, in the FBI. He's in the FBI. You know, the AT, like, you literally, you can have a lower IQ. If you have a low IQ and you want to be in the federal government as a policeman, you're not in the FBI. They're all pretty smart. I mean, they do horrible things, but they have to be intelligent to do them. Whereas the ATF, you know, you can be not as smart. And if you're, this is how the government looks at it. This is not me saying this. And if you're in the ATF, you know, you're like, oh, the Homeland Security or TSA. You know, TSA is the people that are hired off a pizza box and they have to use pictures because you can't read to join the TSA. But yeah, yeah. There's a Boston Tea Party book that's very libertarian, Moulin Labe, where in that book, Wyoming becomes a sovereign state by stealing a nuke from Wyoming. Spoiler alert. But in that book, there's an FBI agent who's going through the ATF, and the ATF lady's like, "Sir, I need you to take off. I need to search your shoes." And he says to her, "You're not smart enough to search my shoes." Yeah, that is the government. The government looks down on me. So I really think what G. Gordon Liddy was saying was, "Oh, I don't like that agency, so take him out. I'm from the better agency." I think that was his point. Wow.
It's really been an amazing show. I'm just looking at another picture of lava, and it looks like...
What did you just said we live in an amazing show, and I agree with you, but I think you misspoke.
I meant to say it's been an amazing show with you, or two shows, however this gets broken up.
We live in an amazing show, Daryl.
You know, I've been living in the internet with you, Michael, for, I think, 6 years now.
We've never met. We sound like we're in the same room thanks to Fiend Phone, which is something I invented with Daryl Slopey, which you can get at fiendphone.com. It's better than Skype. But yeah,
and you could almost install it on your own.
But, yeah, it's a little. It's better if I get into your computer and do it for you. It's a little. We made it a little hard to use. Only smart people can use it, or people that pay me, or people that are our co-hosts who are smart and don't pay me. But I pay them in buttons and stickers.
Now, seriously, for $75 an hour, which is really excellent to put in a custom-made, unbuggy, unlikely to tap your aunt's phone kind of internet service. You know, voice over internet protocol.
Although it's not,
it's a VoIP.
It's a VoIP, no, but it's VoIP. Not encrypted. It's just what is it? Security through obscurity. Yeah, people. It would be hard for the police to get a warrant to type a Fiend Phone. You know, they wouldn't know how to do it.
Port is it?
Yeah.
Which port is it?
It's 5150, actually, is the default port, but you can change that. That's a joke, because 5150 is the California term for involuntary 3-day commitment in a mental institution.
Oh.
Yeah, and when we were making it, Derek was like, "Oh, okay, what should be the default port?" And we're both looking at a list of all the ports in a computer and what they could be used for, and like what's not commonly used by some other service. And I was like, 5150 is available. Yeah, there's a Van Halen album called 5150, and it's one of those things like, what's the police code for murder in California? DJ, what's the police code? She's busy, but whatever it is,
I don't know that one. I know what 420 is, though.
What's that?
That's the police code for marijuana.
187 is the California police code for murder.
187.
But 187 is like, because of rap music, that's like international slang, or at least national slang in America for murder now.
It's been a great show.
It has. You know, you're running out of time. We all running out of time.
I'm running out of time.
You know, it's weird to have you say that while lava is in your neighborhood. I'm running out of time. But I'm going to let you go. Run from the lava. And much respect and love and hope for the future for you, that you'll get to hear this on the internet in a couple days. Worms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.